Hey there, dudes and dudettes. Time to wax up your boards and go catch the big wave over at the LPN Beach Blanket Bingo. One night only at the Balboa Theater in San Diego, October 20th. Come and check out all of the cool cats and the crazy dogs at LPN. Every show in the entire network, each one pulsating and grinding in front of you for your entertainment pleasure. We're all gonna catch the big kahuna. And I'm talking about that big greasy guy. I'm talking about a wave.
Ew, it's seaweed. It's seaweed.
Just so you know, it's gonna be inside of a theater. So any physical wetness you experience is your own personal body heat or the sweat of one of the performers. Come and check it out. I'm certain if there's a podcast flavor you need on your tongue, we got the spoon for it. Beach Blanket Bingo, baby. Come on, girls, let's dance!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Giants of Kandahar won't leave our soldiers alone.
The Giants of Kandahar.
They won't do it because you know why?
Kandahar in Afghanistan.
Maybe.
That's where Kandahar is.
Oh, I thought that was in Queens. No, yeah, they're going after him. You know that Jack and the Beanstalk's real?
Did I know that?
I don't think you did.
I didn't have knowledge that it was real. I've never seen proof that it was real.
It's because you didn't do enough reading.
Okay.
Yeah,
reading
you're
of what?
Ignorant.
What was I supposed to have read?
For the fact, right, that the saying, or let's just say the what is now, what I will say is allegorical knowledge hidden inside of the Jack and the Beanstalk story, right? The fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman,
right,
has actually been revealed by a little interview I saw that talked about how, like, actually that speaks to the fact that the lineage of the giants that had existed in prehistory, right, that DNA is still up and out in people's fucking guts.
Okay.
Right? And so what that means is that giants, current giants, continuing to live, continuing to breed, continuing to hunt, going after our boys in Afghanistan, what they can do is smell the lineage of these so-called giant hunters, right? They can smell it, and it's about how DNA has a voice, and it was put in there by Jesus fucking Christ. That is real. I saw all of this today.
That's fine. I also noticed how when you said the word giant, you pointed at yourself.
Yep.
Giant, again and again, pointed right at yourself.
Don't know
if that was subconscious or just a wish. Welcome to the last podcast on the left, ladies and gentlemen. This is Side Stories. My name's Marcus Parks.
I'm Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, hey, you now you're little Henry Zebrowski.
I'm so subtle. I'm so subtle. No, I don't want to be big.
Yeah.
I don't mind being petite.
I'm telling you, medium is wonderful. I fucking love being medium.
You know, I'm still just like, because when I sit big.
Nah.
Right? Like my body slides to sort of like a, I would say, close to a Hershey's Kiss-like formation,
yeah.
Right? I sit big. I notice that when I sit between people in a car, right? And I sit in the back seat. Because guess what touches them? My sides.
Yes, they
my
do.
My tit flaps.
I've actually come into contact with your tit flaps more than I probably have your forearms.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's, I'd say my tit flaps are, I'm very tit flap forward, you know, and also it's hard because you're going to reach around me. If you're going to be touching me, you're getting some because weirdly about, again, losing a bunch of weight, which you guys probably know if you have lost a lot of weight after being a bigger person, right, is that because I have the curtain, I have two curtains. I have a mezzanine curtain, which is the titty wraparound porch, and then I have the belly curtain.
Sure.
All right, because again, and what that does, the belly curtain at least protects my dick and balls.
That's nice.
But yeah, but I am big. But I tell you who is big. Fucking, and he's around. It's goddamn Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's around. Bigfoot's big.
Buddy.
So Bigfoot is around. So this is, I have heard
he
you
around.
Had,
he
I,
around.
I've heard you make this statement thousands of times.
He's watching us right now. He's watching you fucking through mirrors, right? He's watching you, like, I want to say, have you heard about frogging? I mean,
frogging in relation to Bigfoot?
Well, the term frogging means people who break into your home.
Okay, the people who break into your home and then make your home their home without you knowing that they have made
living
your home
the
their
walls,
home.
Right? Yeah. Shit, that's where Bigfoot is.
Bigfoot's in my home right now.
What? Masturbating. Watching you and your wife being like, I don't need to be with one because right now a couple of you are one. Right?
Yeah, right.
Here we go. Well, yeah. I'll bring back to my story. So I was traveling to go to, I don't even know if I should say the town. Right? I don't
know.
Well,
let's just say a town in Michigan.
Michigan is 700. Yeah. Right? It's a town of 700 people. And so we went to go see one of Natalie's in-laws. It was like we were having a nice little vacation. You know, we drive up. You drive from fucking Detroit through the worst parts of the fucking... You just drive through Frackingville.
Yeah.
You know, to get there. And so this place, like we show up. We see all these like Bigfoot cutouts everywhere. We're like, oh, well, maybe, you know, because what you discover as if you travel this great, beautiful nation of ours is that a lot of little towns that are dying, they're trying to rebrand.
They're trying to rebrand. They're trying to bring tourist dollars in. But I've always wondered about the tourist dollars. It's like, how much can you possibly bring in? $2,000?
Well, this three? Town, I mean, for them, it might change because they talk about how, like, this is the town, this is the type of place that the every business in the town shuts down in December and opens again in April. That's how bad the winter is.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing. Like, well, you know, if you ain't got enough money or food stashed away by December, you're really going to be fucked by springtime. And so, you're like, holy shit. It's like pioneer time.
Oh, it's like the cricket and the ant or the grasshopper and the ant. That old story. You don't know that story?
No.
It's because the cricket or the grasshopper, he spent all of his summer just playing and playing.
Yeah, he's a fucking nerd. He's a fucking, the other guy's a nerd and nerds win. That's what we've learned.
But the ant worked hard. Oh, he put away enough food for the winter.
All day
but
long.
But when the time came time for the grasshopper to eat in the wintertime.
Maybe there should be a safety net for bugs. All right, now this is about, honestly, this is about the UBI.
Yeah, okay, so yes, this might be about the UBI, but it might also be about the ant, who was able to protect himself and was able to prepare for the winter to come.
He was honestly voiced, and he was probably voiced by Woody Allen, okay? We know that for a fact. And so we show up in town, we see these Bigfoots everywhere, and I'm just like, oh, maybe they got a new basketball team, you know, high school mascot. We're like, oh, maybe that's how they're rebranding.
Yeah.
But it turns out, it's a town of 700. The guys from, I believe it's Finding Bigfoot or Following Bigfoot. Okay. It was a Discovery Channel show. They have arrived to town and it's like Kiss is here. I guess not anymore, but back in the day.
No, Kiss, they're still a draw.
The entire town, including the mayor, was at this, like, they went to the city hall where they had a big old, like we know that Bigfoot has come to this town, and we are here to, I guess, fuck him, like get him, arrest him.
We are here to find Bigfoot, not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
And so it made me, we were in an episode of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And so we walked around, and everybody, it was like a cartoon. The buzz everywhere. We're like, we walked into a thrift store. Did you hear the Bigfoot hunters are in town? And it's like, honestly, you know these guys are fucking everybody's wives.
Oh, the Bigfoot hunters?
Well, because what do I know about Giorgio Tsoukalos? He comes to your home. This is real. He'll come to your home. He doesn't necessarily fuck your girlfriend, but he will look at her.
Yeah.
Like, he will be like, yeah, nice. He doesn't want to go into a hotel. He wants to stay in your living room. He is eating your food. The whoa, it's aliens guy is there in his underwear, and it's now Tuesday. He's arrived on a Thursday evening. You're like, what are you doing, Giorgio? And he's like, well, you know, actually, I got a gig in Manchester, Delaware, like, you know, 2 weeks from now. And you're like, he's showing up like he's Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
He's just living in your home now.
You're not getting rid of him.
And so these guys don't understand the fucking virus that they have just received. They received a cryptid virus. And so apparently then, all the tickets were sold out, which was like, honestly.
Tickets to what?
You had to buy a ticket to go to the city hall just to watch it, number one.
To watch what?
The man say, Bigfoot is here, and we are going to do something about it.
We're going to find him.
I don't know what they're going to do. And then
Ich bin ein Bigfoot.
If he was. But then there was a whole craft fair, right? They went to a craft fair. It was a craft fair. There was a whole thing. But then there was a full 3-hour Bigfoot hunt at an undisclosed, quote unquote, undisclosed location with, I mean it, like 150 people.
So it's like Andy Kaufman with the cookies and milk?
Yes.
Is that everybody had
got into a bus and went out of town to some undisclosed location. And my one thing about this town is that there's not much going on there.
No.
If it's not there in the summertime, they've got like tourism, right? Like people come for whatever for the lake or whatever.
The lake, yeah, of course.
But the rest of the time it's hunting. And how many of these? I've seen these big Magullas.
The big hunters.
These Michigan boys. They are fucking thick.
Yeah,
and they look like they got the chin beard.
Yeah.
They got all of the stuff.
They're like winter boys. They don't do a whole lot of exercise. They do a lot of sitting and a lot of drinking. But they're big.
They're big. These guys are going to get shot in the fucking head. Think about this. This is open season on all big galoots.
Yeah.
In the middle now, Michigan, which is, it's mostly big galoots.
I would imagine so. I haven't been up to the Uper because this is Upper Peninsula, right?
I don't know. It's something like that.
But something like that.
It's really strange to because Nellie's grandma was like, this is trash. Like she hated this.
Wow.
Because again, I was like, just so you know, this was a big hit. This is going to be double next year. This is about to become a Bigfoot town.
I mean, but what does she want the town to be instead? She just want the town to be just a regular ass town?
Just get it out of here.
And I also, like, you keep saying, this is the second time we've talked about this, and you keep talking about how the mayor showed up.
Like,
it was a big deal that the mayor showed up.
It's just funny.
It's a town of 700 people. I grew up in a town that's half that size. The mayor is just
He's just a guy.
He's some guy who has in my town, the mayor was also the high school principal.
It was just the seriousness of the, what they're basically saying is an emergency. Like, is a Bigfoot, this Bigfoot waves are coming, and we gotta protect you from this Bigfoot wave of his quasi-patronic penis. You know what I mean? We know for a fact he's on a quantum level. It'll fold up inside of you.
Yeah.
They're afraid of his huge cock.
Oh, yeah. So it's basically the mayor's coming out against Bigfoot, like the weatherman has to come out. And
against
say
the hurricane.
Against the saying that Santa Claus is coming. That all the kids, that Santa Claus is coming. You got to watch out. You got to make sure to get to bed. It's the same thing, the mayor coming out.
Yeah, I'll wait for Santa Claus all fucking night. Here coming this goddamn Jewish asshole. It's just the importance of it.
It is.
And now them understanding, I was like, it's just what we've seen. Folk monster, right? Whole tourism world built around it. The fucking in West Virginia, Mothman. They're just hoping that this is going to be, because SpaceX was supposed to come to town. And then they built a Holiday Inn.
In Michigan.
And then they pulled it out.
Oh.
And then the whole place is now just fucking empty.
Did they finish the Holiday Inn, or was it one of those that they just, you now have like this husk of a building that has sheets of plastic blowing in the wind?
It's a crow apartment building. You know what I mean? It looks like a place where a bunch of children died, and now their crows are there to take their souls to the purgatory.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
But that's really it. I just know that, like, you got to be careful. You got to decide. And I think it's important, though, as a little town, and if you're a person that's in a little town, you want to do something like this, correctly position what cryptid you want to be involved in.
Yeah.
Because that's it now. Because now it's on the sweaters, it's on the magnets, it's on the socks. It's now it's your whole identity. Because then eventually, because people from neighboring towns be like, oh, that's some kind of Bigfoot town.
But that's the thing. Is there any other towns that have attached an identity besides, you know, there's plenty of Sasquatch towns. There's plenty of Bigfoot towns. Of course, we know Point Pleasant goes for the Mothman. But like, is there, I've never
Portland,
heard. Portland, Maine. But is that, again, a Bigfoot town?
It's a cryptid town.
But specific cryptid towns. Like, there's no like Chupacabra town.
Well, I bet you'd find one. I bet
a Chupacabra town in Texas.
Looking it up right the fuck.
Maybe.
Now.
I mean, I don't know if there are Puerto Rican like Chupacabra towns either.
You don't know. You ever been? You got to ask around next time you're in Puerto Rico.
I've been to Puerto Rico a few times.
Chupacabra strikes Texas town.
Yeah, but that's just a town that says that a Chupacabra came.
But Cuero is becoming a Chupacabra town.
Is it just because there was one story in which they said a Chupacabra came?
Yeah, now
and
it's
now
a
you're
Chupacabra
saying it's
town.
And now
you're fighting me and you don't even know. You literally don't even have the facts. And this is a problem with media. All right, because he's fighting me even without the facts.
I'm not fighting you without the facts. I'm fighting you because sometimes you might get a little fanciful.
No, it's called entertainment.
Okay, so this is Cuero Chupacabra.
You look at this shit.
All right.
All right. Let's get into it. We got other stories.
We have plenty of stories, but let's get back to the Cuero Chupacabra in the future, and let's see if it is becoming a Chupacabra town.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. Tell me about your fucking cryptid town, because I know that there are other cryptid towns.
Yeah.
Because again, it's about search. There's everyone's desperate for an identity for some reason. I don't know what goop like horse shit got to every one of these little like comptroller desks where it's been like, you don't need branding.
No.
You need jobs.
Yes,
like this
do.
Place needs jobs, which is kind of what they're trying to figure out how to do.
Of course. But yeah, when we're talking about a cryptid town, we're not talking about, you know, you have a legend of like a goat man or you have something that has nothing to do. It's got to be a town that has branded itself as a cryptid town, but has not chosen a Bigfoot, a Sasquatch, a skunk ape, or any other various hairy creatures that may or may not be time travelers.
Who knows, though? Send me your pictures.
All right, this first story. I mean, the big thing that we got out this week, it's an update on an episode that we did many, many, many years ago. Hell, it's one of the biggest true crime stories of the 90s.
Time.
I mean, it's massive. It's probably the biggest true crime story in music history. There has been an arrest made in the Tupac murder case.
They got him! And it was Gumby. Can't believe he's real. No, man, it's fucking Keefy SD.
Keefy D. He's a guy, his name's Dwayne Keith Davis. He's a guy that we talked about extensively in our Tupac and Biggie series. He was one of the few people that was present at the murder of both Biggie and Tupac. And this guy's been saying for years that he was, he had a memoir in which he admitted, he said explicitly that he was in the car that had the gun that shot Tupac. He was there.
But he said that it was the other guy.
Orlando.
Yeah, so Orlando.
So it was Orlando. Orlando's been dead since like 98 or something.
So it's real easy to blame a dead guy. Yeah. But he would say that I gave him the gun and he's the one who did it. Now, my question is that when I first saw the news, is like, what changed? It seems that we have no information on that. I've been reading through because it's like, again, he's admitted it multiple times and on various different like levels. Like he said, like either he's an accomplice and then for a long time he used that as like his rep, right? Because I was the one who killed Tupac for a long time in order for people to, I guess, buy him hot dogs. Like people were like hanging out with him thinking he's super cool.
Well, I think I read that he said it on a podcast that he let a couple of extra details slip.
Good Lord.
Because this guy, I mean, he's also added a lot to the story over the years and then taken it back. He's definitely made it like a big crime drama where he said that he was once in the room where Puff Daddy explicitly offered him $1 million to kill Suge Knight and Tupac Shakur. It might be false bravado, like, I'll give $1 million to anybody who kills that motherfucker.
Yeah, like, he was just like outside being like, Well, I feel like it does sound...
Hey, Puffy, I killed him!
Oh, shit. That's not... Oh, shit. Have you not heard of hyperbole? Yeah, that's why, again, every proper commentator needs my comedian white flag.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Be like, no. It's like a medic.
Yeah.
But it's society. Satire. But because that's kind of what we believed at the end of our series, from what I remembered. We talked a little bit about this, that it seemed it was way more of a theoretical, I would give someone $1 million if they could handle this thing for me.
Yes.
And because he began to believe that he was the godfather of a bunch of Crips because he was kind of using them for security, even though technically even when the Hell's Angels were used by the Rolling Stones, they weren't Hell's Angels. They were some other version of a biker gang that called themselves the Hell's Angels, but they actually had worked security before. Like, he just hired a bunch of criminals, essentially, to work for him.
Very much so.
And then I'm going to tell you what, it's not smart.
No,
because they don't have tight CVs. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of reference pulling.
Let's just say there's a lot of reactionary behavior.
Yeah, there is.
And that's what seems to have happened the night of Tupac's murder. You know, there's the whole thing. If you know the story, there's a big fight. At the fight, you know, I can't remember the two boxers that were fighting, but there's a big fight at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And this guy, Orlando, who's Keefy D's cousin.
He's crazy.
He gets beat up by Tupac and Suge Knight. They leave and, you know, Orlando and Keefy D and one other guy, I think, you know, they give chase. They find them stopped. They find Tupac and Suge Knight stopped at a stoplight talking to some fans, talking to some girls. And, you know, someone pulls out a gun and just empties the casings. It empties the whole clip into Tupac's car, killing Tupac.
Yeah.
And that's the story that we've known forever. But now the question is, like, what is it that the cops have that they can use to finally arrest KVD?
I wonder what it was. We don't know, like, how could it be DNA? Right, because it was a gunshot. I don't know. Maybe there's a witness cooperation. Maybe there's something that came out. But, well, I guess we will find out soon because he's not getting out.
Mm-hmm.
So they got something, but they're keeping it pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, we have absolutely no idea what's going on.
But,
here.
Hey, it is interesting that these things do actually get wrapped up over time. You know, like this was such a big story for so long that, like, because Biggie, the guy who killed Biggie, that is never been wrapped up. Right?
I don't think they've even come close
to
a Biggie thing. Because the Tupac one's pretty good, but Biggie, they're just like,
we don't know.
Yeah.
And again, it just shows how hard it is when they investigate these types of incidents where it's like they want to pin it on, you know, the boyfriend, the wife, the somebody super connected deep in who has an actual motivation. Motivation is such a slippery thing if it's just like, I heard a theoretical call to arms from a music artist. You know what I mean? Like, that's where, because it wasn't all kind of teed off by him hit him up.
Yeah.
Like, Tupac did hit him up, and then they're all like, oh, now it's for real. But it's like, it's poetry.
Yeah.
It was just music, and now everybody's freaking out.
Yeah, Tupac was a theater kid. Let's not forget that. Like, we said it on our series. It's like, it's that whole, like, be careful what you pretend to be.
You are who you pretend to be.
Exactly. You are who you pretend to be.
Yeah.
And Tupac started pretending that he was, you know, this guy who was going out, you know, dealing drugs, shooting people on the head. And he was not. Tupac was a theater kid. Let's not forget his famous scene in Nothing But Trouble.
He was great.
All the world, same song.
Yeah. I love that fucking song.
No, it's great. But yeah, Tupac was a theater kid. He was a poet. He was an intellectual.
And that's why you got to be careful who you pretend to be, right? And that's why I pretend to be a huge, dicked, incredible comedian. That's it. That's all it takes. That's it. You can see. You can't even see the terror in my eyes through the radio. Can't
no,
you?
Not no. at all. Can't
because
see.
It's not fucking there.
Not whatsoever.
You fucking don't even challenge me.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year, thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Last podcast on the left is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, because if you do, it ain't coming back around. It is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. So let's say, we're doing well so far. We're moving these picks. If you want to move the Judge Reinhold non-clothed edition of a horse picks on the Clydesdale, you can drag it straight to your cart. It's that easy. You also can drag an entire giraffe ride trip for your family, because daddy gets the back of the head, right? You just drag that from the option menu straight to your cart and don't delete, because I'll know if you deleted. I'll know if you did it, thanks to Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night, no matter how chaotic your day is. Conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
All right, let me cut this next story. Pussies need to be taken care of.
That's what this whole story is
controversial
about.
Opinion, is it?
I want to make sure. I'm going to look at this skeleton, right? We got a skeleton looking up from behind us. Mm-hmm. Didn't take it. Honestly, this is great. New set deck for a spooky time period.
Looks wonderful.
And what's spookier than a thing that turned fun? Literally blow your fucking guts out because you had too much fun. Now, first of all, we want to say our thank you to our sponsors at Disney. We would never besmirch your good name.
Not at all. We specifically want to thank our sponsors Walt Disney's Typhoon Lagoon Water Park.
Can we just like pause and then we like to thank our sponsors at... and then make sure that we get past this.
Yeah.
Here we go. This happened in the Typhoon Lagoon, soon to be named the Typhoon Lagoon. Thanks to this next story.
That would be loose poon.
I don't want to blame the victim.
No, I'm not blaming the victim. I'm just saying what happened as a result this incident at the Humunga Cowabunga slide.
Oh, God, it did make a Humunga Cowabunga. Now, Disney ride causes serious gynecological issues for a woman after water slide, quote unquote, wedgie. I would put it to super wedgie.
Yeah.
During a 30th birthday celebration. This shit's fucked up. So this was on a water slide, 214-foot drop water slide called the Humunga Cowabunga. And this woman went down. She seemed like a normal, nice lady, right? It was her 30th birthday. You went down the slide. And apparently, as she neared the end of the slide, her body bounced up, causing her, because normally what they do, have you ever done a water slide?
Yeah, plenty of times. Yeah, Wet n Wild, that's what I used to go to. Wet n Wild in Arlington.
Love Wet n Wild. Yeah. I think it's a chain. I believe there's a couple of those.
Yeah, Six Flags took them over, and they weren't quite the same after that. But yeah, the Wet n Wild in Arlington, Texas, across the highway from Six Flags, is fucking incredible. Love Wet n Wild.
My thing is,
black hole.
I don't like being wet all day.
You know what?
I don't like chafing.
Yeah.
Because I get all chafed. And then you're walking. I don't know if you don't know chafe, like proper summer chafe as a big little boy.
Yeah.
Like it was hell on goddamn earth.
Knew nothing about it. But on the other hand, I don't know. Remember how much of a piece of prey I was at all times. You didn't experience that because you were the larger boy.
Well, I had charm.
Yeah, you had charm.
I had charm. People would be like, I can't rape him.
Yeah,
he's too funny. Yeah. I don't want to destroy that.
No, I had very little of that. For me, it was constant danger all the time. You're in constant. You're so small. You're so weak. You're in constant danger constantly. It's a trade-off.
Hey.
But on the other hand, no chafing.
Hasn't affected him at all.
Not even close.
No. And so she was going down the slide. She goes super fast. So they tell you before you go on the slide, you're supposed to cross your legs. I guess to avoid this very thing.
Yeah.
But apparently her body lifted up. She had become airborne. And then she came down hard back on the slide, which I guess made her legs pop open. And then she just went down for the rest of the fucking slide, just like popping a pussy, popping a pussy, popping a pussy, popping a pussy. The water and her bathing suit was forced violently inside of her, and she experienced immediate severe pain internally. She stood up, and blood began rushing from between her legs. It fucked her up.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming the bathing suit, but this is also why I don't wear mesh.
You don't wear mesh?
No liner.
Really?
Yeah, man. I go European. Yeah, man, I'm full Bavarian.
But see, for me, if I don't wear the liner, that's where I feel the chafing. I feel the chafing amongst the side.
You say chafing?
Yeah.
It's chafing.
Chafing.
No, it's chafing.
It's chafing.
You never experienced it. You don't know. It's another thing.
I have experienced
it. The facts have not been presented in the case. All right, this is another example of hearsay. Hearsay. All right, you have no idea. I'm calling the legal team.
I have experienced chafing.
It is chafing. It is chafing. It is not chafing. I will not allow this because the emails, just the fucking emails we're going to get. God, I took my blood pressure medication.
Sure.
And a beta blocker.
Yeah, of course you did.
Just to feel cool today. I just got to start chopping it up, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway, so she went like, so basically it turns out severe and permanent bodily injury, including severe vaginal lacerations. I don't know what this means. A full thickness laceration causing plaintiff's bowel to protrude through her abdominal wall and damage to her internal organs. She got douched almost to death.
I think what that means is that it ripped open her insides.
Yeah, man,
it ripped open her abdominal wall. Like the pressure of it was so great that her abdominal wall opened up. And damaged her internal organs, hence the blood rushing from her vagina the moment that she stood up and screaming.
And the screaming, just the constant screaming. Because it's different for men, right? Because it's like, obviously, we can get fucking ripped up, pounded on the balls for a while.
Bad things can happen to the butthole. Real bad stuff can happen to the butthole. However, the butthole is far more airtight than the vagina.
I'm always clenching.
Yeah.
Because you and I've learned about that because, again, it helps against surprise.
Helps against surprise. So what kind of surprise?
Any kind of surprise. Any kind of shock.
If you're clenching at all times.
Yeah. It's like, well, that's male Kegels.
Yeah, that is
you know
male
that, right?
Kegels. Yeah.
No, you get hard and you make it bounce.
Yeah, I do. Of course I know about getting hard and making it bounce. Of course. I know about that.
You got to close the butthole, right? I hold it up. You lift it up. And then you're supposed to do. Have you done that, Pina? You ever done? Like, I know that it's a Tenacious D joke, but he talks about lifting and doing the one penis push-up. Mm-hmm. But penis push-ups are real.
It's nice. I like to do it for fun.
Do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself.
Make your fucking boner stronger for your goddamn wife.
Right? No, I believe that much of a person's day should be spent. But I mean, of course, you must do your work. You must do your job. Mm-hmm. You must feed yourself and your family.
Sure.
But much of your day should be devoted to amusing yourself in one way or another.
That's a good
one. And one of the ways to amuse yourself is make your penis go flap, 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 flap,
allowed to do without impunity. Mm-hmm. Disney obviously has not commented on this.
No.
And because it really is hard, because I think it's also the nature of getting your pussy blown out at Typhoon Lagoon without Fun getting involved. Like, I feel like Disney's like not like super into it.
They're not going to. Well, they're going to downplay it. They're going to say they're going to do the whole like, yeah, this is when it's something that happens on a water slide.
They do. It's, that is the main statement they're saying, is that like technically you can get injured on anything. You know, that's like the style of like, you know, in a world of theoretical injuries, like you can literally get injured by anything. And that's kind of like their stance. And we're mm-hmm. like, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. I'm trapped in a fucking anxiety lock all day wondering if a bolt from an airplane is going to fall off and just pierce me in the fucking top of the head.
Yeah.
Right. But that's just called unchecked OCD.
That's just living.
That's just living.
L-I-V-I-N, man.
Just white knuckling yeah. your life.
It is.
But yeah, I guess that's really it. They're trying to get 50 grand, which I guess is enough.
I think that's low.
I do.
That's quite low. 50 grand is quite low. I guess that's just that's just medical expenses. I mean, crazy. They love that. Maybe she's one of those Disney people. You know, those people who are really obsessed with Disney?
People, like, she's allowed. We got to stop attacking people just because, I mean, like, they're spending a lot of money at Disney.
They are.
But they, you know.
Oh, I mean, I'm not attacking. I'm just saying.
She might be.
She might be one of those Disney but people.
That's going to be bad, though, because then she's not going to be able to go back. Because every time she's going, every time she's gone any ride, she's going to feel it inside of her pussy. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't even think it felt good at all. Like, I don't think, like, there was no point where,
no.
like, because even childbirth, you're supposed to come.
No, you're not going to feel good at all. It is a fucking water cannon up through the other side that lacerates your insides, and it rips open your abdominal wall. It's horrific pain. There's nothing about it that is pleasurable.
What I do like is that there's one man
it's missing the clitoris entirely.
It is. It really is. It's not considerate. But if there's one guy that keeps commenting on the actual like article that we're looking here for Law and Crime, and that he's just doing random. They should name it the hymen popper. They should name it the internal organ blaster, the coochie crusher. I mean, like, this guy is, they love him during Thanksgiving. Man.
Oh
God. All right. Well, that covers it. You got to be careful. Or again, yeah. Cross your legs. Wherever
always,
you are.
Always cross your legs. Next story we got here, we have, and this is a nice story that kind of dovetails a little bit with what we talked about last week or the last 2 weeks on Last Podcast on the Left. Of course, we talked about Jeffrey McDonald, talked about good old-fashioned Family Annihilator.
Good old-fashioned.
And we're
just like your old grandpappy used to make. You just got to go down there and you're always getting evicted time to eliminate everyone.
Jeffrey McDonald was, of course, successful in eliminating his entire family.
He killed, successful the term?
Yeah, it was. Yes. His goal was to eliminate his family. He achieved that goal, so therefore he was successful.
It's all about whatever metrics you got working for you.
Killed his wife, killed his two daughters, but guy in Kansas attempted family annihilator.
And that's, how sad is that?
Tried to kill his wife and five children because he was afraid of being evicted from his home, and guess what? He was also a children's pastor.
Oh, yes. Now, this guy is
named... And children's pastor is far different than youth pastor.
Oh, yes. Now, Matthew Richards, 41 years fun. This comes from FoxNews.com. He was charged with 5 counts of attempted premeditated first-degree murder and 1 count of aggravated arson. So what he decided to do is that, I guess, eviction was happening that day. And he, I guess, which is, how many of these we've seen? Guys... Let the wife in on if you're having financial problems early.
Yeah.
Right? Because, yeah, it's embarrassing and it sucks.
Sure.
Right? It's a whole thing. But they can help. Somebody can come and help.
They can handle it.
You know, they can handle it. All right? We're here. They've already slopped out 5 screaming worms for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're there. It's too late for them.
Oh, yeah, right? It is. Yeah, you've already, because of your Christian upbringing, you haven't
slammed her with child.
You're just fucking quiverful on that shit. You're just fucking coming and coming and coming.
You've done it.
And guess what? That's your responsibility because you came too much.
You came too much.
Yes.
And so I guess that he was sliding into deeper and deeper financial problems, and that eviction became imminent. And then he thought, again, which we've heard this story time and time again, that he wanted to save the children and his wife from the embarrassment. Because they would just be the egg on their faces. Like, because again, kids don't know that they're broke. We were broke. We're like, you know, middle class or whatever. But it's like, nobody knows as a child that you're broke.
I think some kids know.
But
there were kids that I grew up. The kid without a door, he knew.
Yeah, but again, they're alive. You know what I mean? They could go do shit, right? So he said, he told police that it would be better if they all died. And then rather than his family find out the truth. So what he did was he stabbed each member of the family. He stabbed all of the kids. He stabbed the wife. And then he tried to burn the house down to try to cover it all up. But again, I don't know how many times we find ourselves in this position where I'm not trying to give advice to a murderer, but you got to finish the job because it's not sticking.
He just lightly, he did do some damage to internal organs. He did do some damage.
Yeah, he's fucked up a bunch of people.
But his... I hate to say his heart wasn't in it.
I would like to think his heart
was not in it. Yeah, I think he just tried. He, for some reason, decided this was the right decision.
It's funny because you say the heart, like, kind of mixed. I'm kind of mixed here because I wonder if it's either the heart is not in the right, like, position, right, where you're not quite certain, or you're literally just bad at it. And you want to do it and you think you've done it and you've half-assed everything in your fucking life. And now, because think about the finances. You already fucked up all the finances. Now you're fucking this up as well. And so
he looks like a fuck up.
One of Richard's children called 911 because watched it. Because like, again, this is what you taught his kids right, weirdly. And they called. The cops came right away. He set the fire trying to stop it, even though he tried to call it. And like everybody has lived. Now, what I do love, again, when you get into the bios after, like how many people to always talk about, like,
I love this.
I love it. So the first thing is that his biography on his Crossroads Christian Church website says he's a big kid who loves teaching little kids about Jesus Christ.
Do you mind if I read this biography in my best church lady voice? This is the voice that you hear at every Southern Baptist church, every woman who just loves her entire congregation.
Oh, yes.
And she just loves Matthew so much.
I love Matthew. Oh, Matthew's so fun.
He has been married to Stephanie since 2003, and they have 4 boys and 1 girl.
Yep.
He and his family have 3 rules. 1, love God.
Done.
2, love people.
Excellent.
3, love sports, especially the Jayhawks and Sporting KC. Matt and his family have been at Crossroads since August of 2016 and look forward to many more years helping teach and reach those in the Shawnee area.
You know, it's just like...
And of course, what is the immediate statement from the actual pastor?
Our church family is shocked. We're sickened. We're saddened by the events of early Saturday morning involving our former children's pastor.
Former
children's pastor. Yeah. Because why is it always the children's pastor?
Well, the children's pastor is a different breed than even the youth pastor. The children's pastor is always is the one that has to tell the kid, like, that has to tell the kids the hard truth.
Jesus died for your sins. He killed Santa Claus in a battle with the death. Like, is it that? Like, is it like, because youth pastor, mostly youth pastors, from what I remember, just kind of finger banged a bunch of people.
Youth pastors can finger bang a lot of people. Amongst all the different kinds of pastors, I would say that per capita, youth pastors do the most finger banging, but a children's pastor, they, at least when it came to my, you know, when I used to go to Sunday school and I had the children's pastor has the very delicate and very difficult task. And this wasn't just a Simpsons episode of introducing the idea of hell to like a 7-year old, like a 6 or 7-year old. They have to introduce that.
Well, I always remember that, like, when being described by a priest, though. See, I still feel like, and at least the Roman Catholic, you know what I mean? At least he's got a uniform. Yeah. It's not just some fucking guy.
No,
right?
You know what I mean? It was just some lady.
I for a while, eventually took some time for me to understand that he's just a guy.
Yeah.
But, like, at that point, you know, like, he's got an officious position, but him just writing me like, well, you know, God watches your every single move. If you touch yourself, God writes it down in a big book. And then he thinks about it, and all he does is get madder and madder about it. Till you say something to me. So tell me, did you fucking touch yourself? Did you fucking touch yourself, Les? It's okay, tell me. Go see El Mary. I want to watch you do it. I want to watch you count the rosaries. But, like, that idea of you are, I remember it, because I was already paranoid.
Yeah.
Even as a little boy, I was paranoid. And I remember just thinking every time, being like, oh my God, he's fucking watching me.
Yeah.
He's watching me right now. I don't know. And I'm like, I just mean like, he's in my brain. Like he was fucking George Soros.
We had it almost, it's a different type of fear that we got, because you got it from this like official priest, this guy that you only knew as a priest, but we got it from like Mary Helen, who works the bank. You know, it's like, it's people that you know, that you see all the time, that are telling you, it's like, well, children, you know that if you lie, you will go to hell and you will burn in hell for all eternity. And the devil is going to torture you until, well, forever. It's just never going to stop, because you know how long it takes for school to get out. You know how long it takes to get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon so you can go home and play with your toys. Well, it's going to be that, but it's going to be forever. And you're going to be burning the entire time. And that's if you lie. And if you touch yourself, that is a mortal sin and you will be sent to hell. So do not, children, whatever you do, do not touch yourself.
The issue? Yeah. I don't actually really understand where the issue is. But no, it's weird because...
And it's fucking terrifying.
Of course. Well, that's why, you know, we always talk about like...
And there's also no escape from it. You guys,
none.
You guys got to do confession.
Yeah, we had Hail Marys.
Yeah, you had Hail... We had nothing.
Yeah, like, yeah,
you did it. You lived with it.
But the problem is that then it put us in a tiny room with a man. All he did was listen to children's secrets. So at least you guys, I do feel like in that way, you guys got out of that.
Yeah, we did.
You know what I mean? It was all, it was an existential threat from the outside.
Yeah.
But from the inside, like this was like, oh, there's a man there.
Yeah.
Now there's an actual man here.
Yeah, we had insane internal torture inflicted upon us, but y'all had actual external
issues.
Physical trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Not me, though. Again. Teflon. Can't get me. Can't suck that dick.
I won't
let it happen.
No, you won't.
All right. Well, I guess that this guy's going to be fucking hung out to dry. I don't know what he's going to, you know, fuck this fucking guy.
Live from your grave.
I got a new story. I love this fucking story. I love Robots Against Robots, right? Robots Against Robots, any kind of robots, we're going to use it. Because remember when last night we were driving and we saw the little delivery robot and it blinked?
And we, oh my God, and we both, like, we were in the middle of a serious conversation. Then all of a sudden it went, oh, look, robot, robot, Ruby, like, Ruby robot, and it blinked.
It's because, like, smiling and doing shit.
Yeah, it was like delivering something to somebody, but it was smiling and it was blinking. And it made us both very happy for a little bit.
Yeah,
and it was nice.
It was nice. It was but because nice I don't mind. I don't. You know, I'm the one that is not fully anti the robot movement.
No,
right. I believe.
I
that.
Also am not fully anti the robot movement either.
I think that we can combine. We just again be very stern and firm with our robots, so they understand we raise them hard from the very beginning, right? But these guys in Japan, they're doing it very, very well. Now look at this shit. I love this. Now, these were, they're, Japan is like, there's several layers of issue here.
Yeah.
Japan is unleashing terrifying robot wolves to fight off bears that are attacking the elderly.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of level.
Now, this, all of this makes sense, though.
Oh, yes. Now, this was a, they have this thing. It's a robotic scarecrow they've been using. They call, in Japan, they call it the monster wolf. They're initially used to stop wild animals intruding on farmland. But it's this, it's, I guess it's sort of in this countryside. Now, Monster Wolf was first recorded, a use of Monster Wolf was first recorded in autumn of 2020. Now, they originally, they were supposed to be there, and they were supposed to watch and keep crops from fucking with, like, to keep animals from fucking with crops.
Yeah, and also, I would like to say that robot is a pretty loose term here.
It is a Roomba with a giant scary wolf on the top of it, and it's got a blinking light for a tail, and it's literally, if you could hear it, it's going, row, row, ooh, ar, 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 ar. It's making a bunch of different noises. Look, it's scaring the shit out of all the possums. Right, you can see this video, it's scaring the shit, look at that thing. He's like, what? It's scary looking.
It's just a big tuft of hair and a Halloween wolf mask.
It's scary.
On wheels.
But it's working.
On remote, like, you could just put it, it's a Roomba.
Yay, man. And don't complain if it works. That's the whole thing. It's a W. You just got to take it.
Yeah.
So apparently these rural farming villages, the big issue is that people are, which seems to be common. We, you know, it happened in the town that we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. It probably happened in Rochester.
Absolutely.
Where it's like the younger people, the population of the people, they are leaving.
No, there's just no jobs.
There's no jobs. There's nowhere to go. And they're leaving these rural
shit.
Yeah, super boring. They're leaving these, like, rural little villages and they're leaving the elderly there. And then apparently bears then take the opportunity to attack the elderly to areas. It's like, it is very strange. So now they're using these things to attack the bears. They feel like if they have constant patrolling robotic dogs around villages, it will protect the old people.
Right. So you do trade off. You have safety, but then you are also left with, like, all night long with just, like,
thank God for these terrifying wolves, because they keep the real bears from our people. And then obviously this is like a blue zone. You know, there's like one of those places where these people all live in 105.
No, oh, yeah.
You know, so they're still just like, just staying up and like, can't I die? Let the bears take me. And then they're like going to the wolf and like, let the bear in. Let it end all of us. I'm sick of living. I won't die because of how healthy my lifestyle is, how naturally I work in a physical way every day, how my stress level is low, and how I can squat. Like, you need to help me. I can also just see the fucking, like, the idea of them all, like, becoming like a happy family. Now what we need is other robot animals around the wolves.
Okay.
To be with them.
So you're going to do one of those things where it's like you bring in the cats to get rid of the mice, but now you have a cat problem.
Yeah.
And so you have to bring in something else to get rid of the cats. And now you're wanting to bring in, so now you're wanting to bring in something to get rid of the robot wolves.
Yes.
That you could just turn off.
But then I feel like I'm killing them. They've helped this town.
So you want to chase them away.
I just wonder if the bears will get used to the wolves.
They probably will. The bears will eventually figure out that the wolves
aren't doing anything.
You can just walk up to them and just push
knock
it over.
Knock it over, yeah.
Knock it over, and it's not going to really do much.
It really, that might happen. That really might happen.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
happen.
I mean, yeah, let's get there. We'll cross the bridge when we get to it.
Sure.
All right. Oh, I have another. All right, I got one more story. Okay, this is a good one. This came in right under the line before we started recording. What is it with... how many kids have to accidentally get shot at a wedding? Like, how many children does this happen to happen to? A man that was officiating a wedding thought it would be fun, right? Because I guess what he decided he wanted to do is that his name is Michael Gardner. He's 62 years old.
Oh, God. It's Texas, isn't it?
Oh, let me see. It is Lancaster County.
Yep, Denton. Okay.
Okay, so he decided that it would be fun. He's going to officiate a wedding. Why not start it by scaring everybody? He said he thought he wanted to get everybody's attention by pulling out a gun at the reception and firing a bullet in the air. I don't know what for. I don't know. And so as he was pulling, he had made his own blank. Again, inadvisable. I don't think it's something you can learn with a YouTube fucking video, right?
Yeah.
And as he pulled it out, fucking shot a child. Immediately shot a child.
Didn't kill the child.
No, he did not kill the child.
It was his grandson.
Oh, yes. Yes. And they were like, and as the chief deputy Ben Houchin said, he was going to fire in the air. Yeah. And as he did that, it slipped and it went off. Yeah, of course. You know, mm-hmm. I'm like, and I love his comment afterwards. You know, it's just kind of neglectful to take a gun out that has blanks and fire amongst people.
Well, this happened in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, yes, this is Lincoln, Nebraska.
It's from Odessa, Texas.
Oh, wow. Oh, so he brought Texas to Nebraska.
Texans, if it's the right type or the wrong type, they're going to bring it wherever the fuck they go, especially if they're from Odessa. Odessa is it's a town.
Oh, I can't. Odessa was in, that featured largely in Hero Stillborn.
Really?
Odessa was like where we were all going.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Odessa's been in a lot of pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder why. I don't know if it's just because of the name. It's a pretty name.
It's a cool name. And it also, like, it's an oil town. And it's also gritty and dirty. Like, it's got this great bar called Woody's that is fucking absolutely wonderful. I don't know if it's still there or not, but we used to go there in college. But yeah, Odessa, Texas sounds like a location. That sounds like somewhere you're going to go to.
Well,
but once you get there, last time I went to Odessa, Texas, I went to one of those fucking parking lot carnivals and I went on the spinny ride and I threw up.
No, buddy.
And that was my last fucking time in Odessa, Texas.
I'm done. How do I put it? All fingers before I go on a ride. Before I enter into anything in which my weight is suspended anywhere above 4 feet above the ground.
That was my last parking lot carnival.
I think I'm done. Apparently, Odessa, Texas is the hometown of the so-called, it's Claire Bennett, played by Haley Payne and Terry's, who I never got to meet during Heroes Reborn. I don't know if she was even, I don't remember. I think that she was like, they couldn't get her. And then they used somebody, she had like a blonde wig on, her dead body was like face down in it. But she was the famous safe cheerleader.
Save the children, save the world, yeah.
And so we were all in Heroes Reborn headed towards Odessa.
I don't want to malign Odessa. I had some good times in Odessa.
I think it's too late.
I'm not going to malign Odessa, but I think anyone that lives in Odessa they're going to agree. It's a rough place. It's a real rough town, and it does not surprise me that a man from Odessa brought a gun across state lines.
That's the thing, too, now that you say that, yeah.
Yeah, he brought a gun across state lines into Nebraska. Because that's the thing. I also don't know if he planned ahead of time or if he made this blank in his hotel room before because he was thinking about it on the drive up.
It's like, again,
because I guarantee you he brought the gun because he takes the gun with him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. Yeah, because I do understand if you want your own little, I mean, I don't know. It's a wedding. What are we, you know, at what point do we feel like we're going to defend the wedding? He also prepped enough thinking that this was a fun thing to do.
Well, this is going to be, it's like instead of like the ding, 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 instead of that.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, he's going to fire a gun in the air and make everyone think and immediately shoot everyone's cortisol levels through the fucking roof. Keep them there for the entirety of the night.
Even if you like guns, is it a comforting noise?
No.
Like, I mean, you don't like guns.
Well, no, I like.
You're neutral with guns.
I'm neutral. Yes, I that's a much better way of putting it. I'm neutral with guns.
But I don't.
I like to shoot guns. I love going out and shooting them. But
I feel like it's an extremely anxiety-inducing noise.
For most people, it is. Yeah,
because it sounds like everybody's about to die.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like not. again, you already experienced it once. It's called the death of fun. It's called a marriage. Got you. No, marriage is actually extremely nice.
It's very nice.
Extremely nice.
Extremely nice.
But you know what I mean.
No, of course. It is a sound that makes you believe that violence is imminent. And yes. It is not a sound that is conducive to a wedding.
It's not.
Yeah, I don't associate guns with love.
No. No. No, unless she painted pink for breast cancer. Yay, guns for breast cancer. Well, that's how we flip it.
You know what he should have done instead of that? You just give him like a little...
mm-hmm. Yeah?
I love doing this.
Oh, yeah? What have you cracked yourself up on? What is this very... What's this extremely funny bit?
One of the little fart things.
Oh, the fart machine? A little fart machine, is that what you're saying? Yeah, sure, yeah. Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. Ting, 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 ting. Hey. I mean, yeah, I feel like, yeah, that's a more Jed's gentler.
Yeah, I think yeah. I'm cracking myself because I'm sort of losing my mind right now.
Yeah,
but sure.
Just, yeah. You're right. There's many other things. Any other noise. Even if it was like a coughing old man, even if you brought up a man who just go, which actually I think most weddings are announced.
Actually, I think that was used at one of my cousin's weddings. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Or a fart
machine.
Be loud in the microphone. Turn it off.
It's time for a ski hit.
It's time.
I could feel the triplets kicking around.
Time for a speech.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe my eggs are big enough for you to film a child.
You best get used to that. You best get used to that in the wedding.
Oh, no, I'm having an abortion. Man, this is the best wedding I've ever been to.
I'm just trying to make things a little cute.
I am not. It's true.
Because another fucking shithead giving us all a bad name, shot his 12-year-old grandson at a wedding reception.
Wait, don't worry. They're getting Tesla.
Oh, no. Sorry. It was at the wedding. It was not at
it
the
was
wedding.
At the
it
wedding.
Was at the wedding.
So, yeah,
was,
so don't
it
do
was
that.
At the wedding.
I'm
so, yeah.
certain the reception went off without a hitch.
I'm sure it did. Yeah. Sure. You're arrested for child abuse. So, yep. There we go.
All right. All right. Let's time for our Hero of the Week. I got two. I'm going to do two real quick because the first one is in the how is this a crime aspect. Southampton's happy hot dog man is in court for the 10th time. Now, most of the time, if a man's in court for 10 times and he's called the hot dog man, it's because he's been showing it to a bunch of children on a school bus.
Or just anyone in general.
But he's actually just selling hot dogs. And that, again, not a euphemism. Ian Kruger, he was known as the happy hot dog man. I just wanted to do this because, so they keep busting him because he's just rolling up his hot dogs. So you do need, I guess, a license to sell hot dogs, which I remember that saying.
What saying?
You ever see them when your fly's down? Someone says, hey, you got a license to sell hot dogs?
I've never heard that in my fucking
never
life.
Never said that?
That's such a weird Queens thing. I've never heard that.
No, you don't hear that?
Okay, maybe it's regional. Maybe it's New York. But
yeah,
I've
got
never
a license to sell hot dogs?
No, I guess, hey, your barn door, hey, you heard cows? Barn door's open.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you got
rural.
Rural.
No,
yeah,
mine
yeah.
was about licensing. Mine's all about getting that medallion.
Yeah, it's a,
you know, can you do it?
Municipal laws. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this guy, because that's the thing, is it truly breaking the law if the crime is unjust?
He's saying the law is unjust.
The law is unjust.
What he is saying.
I'm still thinking about that fart machine, so my mind's still a little.
Wait, he.
Still a little scrambled.
It's the same sound from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But he's apparently. He would pull out his hot dog cart. The biggest issue was that he was putting it, I guess, in where pedestrians are supposed to be and blocking an exit or something. Mm-hmm. And that was like why they put him into a crime. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this guy's basically saying, I need to pay off bills. I'm trying to sell these fucking hot dogs. People are coming down on me. And so he's like, I want to work with my hands. I want to pay my own way. Because it's in British, right? So Kruger told the courts his financial situation has improved and he's been working at organized events, right? He was working, honestly, he was making £12,000 a year.
It's not bad for hot dogs.
And it's just hard. It's like they're trying to tell him we set down these regulations for a good reason, for the protection of the public. And he's just like, hot dogs. What about hot dogs? And so he was saying that now he's sort of making, he's making a statement. This is getting political for him.
Of course.
Ian Kruger is getting political. He is making it. He's like, again, it's not about the hot dogs. It's about the letter of the goddamn law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Appia Ogman.
Appia Ogman.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing the judge said. It's disappointing that you're doing this. He says, you're a good man. You're obviously a good man.
You're a good man.
But it's disappointing that you're coming down here again and you're in front of me.
Yeah.
With this hot dog bullshit.
And he was just again. Like, you take my hot dogs from my cold, wet hands. Because I mentioned he's slopping around inside the water.
It's going to be dirty. It's going to be dirty water dogs.
And so that's one hero of the week. And the other one is, we covered this a long time ago, a little bit on Side Stories, about old Stone Man Willie. It's time for him to finally get some rest.
Okay.
The oldest mummy in the U.S. He's finally going to get a proper burial.
Wow.
Stone Man Willie. He's been on display in a funeral home for 128 years now. Huh? He was a petty thief. They said the only thing they knew about him is he was dirty Irish. Right? That's what they say in here, right? And he died in jail due to kidney disease that was brought on by alcohol. And then I guess they mummified him because he was a mortician, was experimenting with new embalming techniques.
Sure.
He actually looks really good. His hair looks great. He technically has more hair than me. He's got a nice sash.
He does look pretty good.
His hair and teeth remain intact. His skin has become leathery. It is in the Pennsylvania funeral home, and they have finally decided at the Almonds funeral home. And he's been on tour. He's he's been on tour for something like 100 plus years, going around. People show him. The straight up, like, Elton John level tour. He keeps going. They have identified his real name, which will be inscribed at the bottom of his tombstone. They're going to finally go there. When he got arrested, he gave the false name of James Penn, because he was found inside a local boarding house with a gold watch, razor, and money in his hands, all of which he had stolen.
Ah.
And then he died of gastritis. And now they're finally, he finally gets a chance to go to sleep.
That's nice. He looks like somebody, but I can't put my finger on who.
Yeah.
He really does look like somebody.
Yeah. He really does. I think he looks like fucking Stone Man Willie. And I think you've seen Stone Man Willie in many a neighborhood before. Because if you look at him, he just... he looks like a man who works at an office. So, but he has been enameled.
So why is he finally going into the ground?
He's done. They finally decided he's done.
But why?
I think because they made enough money on him. Again, like Elton John.
Yeah.
His entire team is allowed. They're going to allow him to die.
They're just going to allow him to finally go under.
But say honestly, though, the funeral director does correct the bill here, because we will not refer to him as a mummy. We will not. We refer to him as our friend Willie.
R.I.P. Willie, enjoy your final resting place.
Purgatory. He's going to be in the Forest Hills Memorial Park. They're going to bury him October 7th. And if that's not spooky, I don't know what is. Because I guess at this point it's too late for him. He's been a ghost for far too long.
Yeah. I mean, he does look quite spooky. He looks like someone who died last week.
Yes. It's enameled. Yeah. He looks bronzed.
He really does.
Which is pretty cool, honestly,
yeah,
for him.
For 128 years old, yeah. He looks, and the hands are quite haunting.
Yeah, he's got Mitch McConnell hands. Yeah. He's got those, like, grippy old man, weird, gnarled knuckle hands.
This picture is actually one of the most disturbing pictures I've seen in a long time for some reason. I've seen some horrible, horrible things, but for some reason...
Yeah, we just did the Wonderland murders.
Yeah, but for some reason, this picture of this mummy is haunting me.
I think you see what's going to happen to you.
I see myself in this casket.
I think that you do. I know you... It's going to happen to you. I can't wait to turn you into a little mummy.
The impermanence of life.
No, it's right there, right in front of us, staring every day when I look in the mirror.
Yep.
Don't be afraid. Listener emails. Biohacking changed my life. I love this show and was recently listening back to some old episodes, specifically the transhumanism series. I want to let you guys know that getting an implant literally changed my life. One day in high school, I decided to go cliff diving and I fell 40 feet because I couldn't stick the landing. Long story short, I ended up messing my neck up to the point where I had migraines for 8 years straight. Fortunately, though, in 2023, there are implants that you get for your spine, and I got one. similar to the people who biohack themselves, the process is not pleasant. I'm sure you remember studying the whole skin ripping from fat thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember all of that.
It's so hard.
But the results changed my life. I now have a battery in my lower back with leads that go up my spinal canal to my nerve endings. It constantly sends pulses and interferes with nerve signals to reduce pain. The biggest adjustment was learning how to charge myself. I have a wireless charger that I hold over my device. A lot of surgeons do these procedures nowadays. Heck, there's even a market for where people go to school so they can be an advocate for you should you ever need assistance 24/7.
And that's where these new jobs are. They're in taking care of transhuman people.
That's what we need, transhumanism towns.
Yeah.
Wow. And there'll be a lot of Rose McGowans. That's what I hope. A lot of girls, you can see their nipples a little bit. They're like, these are actually radars. These actually help you find parking.
Yeah. And it's like right now, like I said, the economy in Lubbock, Texas is all based upon people feeding each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There can be actual towns where it could just be a bunch of transhumanists fixing each other. And look, that's the whole self-sustaining economy.
Look, I got Apple Pay in my dick and balls. And you're like, wow, cool. And he's like squatting over. Every time he goes to like any store, he just like, you see where it says tap, you know, he has to do the full like tap down.
Ah, but then he has hydraulic frog legs, so he has no need.
That's all I want. All I want is an exoskeleton. Please, Lord. Come on now. Come on, universe. Give me that exoskeleton.
You might have it.
Hey, we'll
one
see.
Day.
I might need it.
All right.
All right. So before we go, we got a couple plugs. We got October 11th. I'm going to be in Atlanta next week. Come check it out, atldonnerparty.com. I'm going to be hosting a dinner party where the food is going to look like people. But it's only looking like people.
And it's not just a bunch of meatloaf in different shapes.
He doesn't know. It's actually other types of things as well.
I'd imagine so.
We do have a vegetarian option because fucking have to. You know what I mean? We don't really have any choice. So, but I think it's like squash.
Sure.
Pumpkins.
Nothing's
it's supposed
human.
To be really good.
Nothing's human.
Nothing's human. Go to atldonnerparty.com. And then also, come and check out the LPN Beach Blanket Bingo. We know it's October. I've been getting a lot of messages saying, like, you understand this could be a Halloween theme. We didn't realize when we booked it at the time because we were just thinking San Diego.
Yeah, we were just thinking San Diego. So, we had no idea that it was going to be a week before.
We were morons. So what I would say
we were working on that while we were doing the subathon.
Yes. Yeah, we were in summer mind frame. So what I would say to you is like, bring a costume. Fucking let's go crazy.
Sure.
LPN Beach Blanket Bingo. We're going to do a thing at the, you'll see. We're going to incorporate some Halloween spooky stuff into it. Come down to the Balboa Theater in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. October 20th. And I think you're going to like it.
I think you're going to like it.
Yes.
You know what? I bet you guys end up eating at that Donner Party thing. Some frog legs. Because frog legs look a lot like the tendons of fingers.
I like frog legs.
I love frog legs.
Live every day wondering when you're going to get your frog legs. I'm hoping it's soon.
I thought that I had an allergy to frog legs where I would hallucinate when I ate them because that happened to me like 3 times.
Okay.
But I ate frog legs at Jitlada like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
No hallucinations. I was very happy about it.
Love when your allergies change. I think it's extremely, remember, you're going to love when your allergies change because they do it in a dime. Because look at him. For some reason, he tripped balls when he ate frog's legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's his British system.
These things happen.
He's got stuff inside of him, and you just got to laugh. Because again, if you're not laughing, every day is going to be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
All right? So put a fucking smile on your goddamn face.
Plaster it on.
Yeah, and you get out there and shuffle your way down to the goddamn funeral home and tell old Stone Man Willie, we're going to party together in hell. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you fucking next week.
See you next week.
Kelsey.
Now
me, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.